In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, in a relay race, there are typically four runners whose job is to take a baton and get it to the finish line without dropping it. If any one of the runners drops the baton, the team is disqualified. And the way that it works is the first runner has the baton from the beginning. The other runners, the second and third runners, their job is both to receive the baton from the runner behind them and then pass it on to the runner in front of them until they get to the end of the race. And of course, this is an image of human history, whereon there is a certain passing of a baton throughout human history from the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ until the end of the world. Of course, the baton is the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is received by a certain generation, and their job is to take it as it is, the baton that was given to us by our Lord, the truths of the faith, to receive those, to stand in them, and then to pass those truths on to the next generation. And so it goes from generation into generation until we get to the end of recorded time. The first runner in the faith is our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not receive the baton. He is the one is the origin of it. He gives us the truths of revelation. And then everyone else after that point is a receiver. It's interesting that St. Paul, even the first generation of Catholics, the first ones to receive the faith, understood this clearly. St. Paul is explaining this to the Corinthians. He's saying to them, I have given to you what I have also received. I received the faith from Jesus Christ. He gave it to me. I have taken it, and I am passing it on to you. And he's saying, you must receive this faith, you must stand in it, and it will save you. If you keep it in the same way that I have preached it to you, if you change it, if you modify it, if you drop it, it's not going to save you. But if you keep it in the way that it's been given to you, you are being saved by it. So this teaching of St. Paul indicates to us the very nature of our Catholic faith. Our Catholic faith is, by its nature, a traditional faith. Tradition just simply means handing on. Our faith is a handed-on faith. It is a faith that is received and then passed on to the next generation. It's not a creative faith. It's not a faith that wells up from Christian consciousness. It is a faith that has been defined from the beginning of its origin by our Lord, by God himself. And then the job from that point becomes simply a question of receiving and handing on to the next generation. Now, there were a number of us in the parish who just spent a week in Rome joining traditional Catholics from around the world. And part of our visit was in order to go back in time, because there's so many layers of history in Rome. And to go back in time and to see precisely the witness of so many generations of Catholics who put so much effort and sometimes shed even their own blood in this effort to hold on to the faith and pass on the faith. We saw so many churches that were built precisely to be a monument of faith, to teach the faith. They're filled with frescoes and statues and lettering, stenciling on the church to proclaim the faith, to teach the faith, to pass the faith on in the same sense that it was given to us by our Lord. We are also able to pray at the tombs of so many of the figures of our glorious Catholic history, figures who were particularly outstanding examples of this work of receiving and transmitting to the next generation. We wanted to make this trip back in time in order to strengthen our own faith, but we also wanted to go to Rome to have the opportunity to profess our faith in the present. But because, you know, we are now the ones with the baton in our hands. We are the Catholics of our generation who have been given the faith. We have received the faith. And now we must perform this work of passing on the faith to the next generation. In a relay race, there's a certain area on the track in which it is legitimate to pass the baton on. And if you don't pass the baton on in that area, if you do it somewhere else, then you lose. You're out of the race. You're disqualified for the race. So we have a window to pass the baton on. This is the space of our life. We have this window in which we receive the faith, sometimes when we're born, sometimes later on in our life we come to the faith. And then we have a certain period of time that God gives us until the day of our death to pass that faith on to the next generation, ensure that the faith will remain intact until the end of time. And you know that one of the major characteristics of the crisis in the church that we're suffering through right now is that the faith precisely is not being passed on as it should. The truths of the faith and then the practices of the faith. Somehow, with the Council of the Spirit in the 60s, was not to really esteem the past of the church. It was not really to have this great respect that we must have for those who have gone before us in the faith, and the respect that makes you want to hold on to precisely the same truths that they held, and to have the same practices that they practiced. And the belief that if we don't do that, then precisely we will not be able to hand on the faith. So we've been in this period of change, there's complete and utter change in the church where practically everything has been changed. And the result is not surprising. People are not holding on to the faith. The faith is not being transmitted. The baton is being dropped on the ground. Runners are leaving the race. They're falling to the side of the track. They're not staying on the track. And it's to the detriment of so many souls. Meanwhile, if this is happening and we notice that we as traditional Catholics, we have this belief that in order to maintain our faith in this day and age, in this 21st century, we must hold on to the truths and the practices of the faith of those who have gone before us. And only by doing that will we be able to maintain the faith and fulfill our mission, the mission that God has given to us. This is what determines us to do so, even though we're not being forced to do that. It's an explicit choice on our part. What practices am I talking about? Well, obviously the first thing is that we want to hold on to the same teachings that have always been taught, that have always been held by Catholics. For instance, the teaching of the exclusivity of the Catholic faith, that there is only one true faith that has come from God. There is only one divine institution, the Catholic Church, and that therefore outside of that Catholic Church, there is no salvation. You must enter the fold. It's necessary to enter the fold, that those who are outside the fold, those who belong to false religions, the religion itself does not lead to salvation. It leads away from salvation. And so it's so important for people to come into the Catholic faith. You're either in the church, in the fold of Christ, or you're outside of the church. There's no such thing as partial communion. You're either in communion or you're outside of communion. One of the first things we saw in Rome was the Jewish ghetto. This was an area that was designated to the Jews for them to live in Rome. And what was striking is just outside the margins of that Jewish ghetto where the Catholics of the time, they built churches to say to the Jews, you need to convert. It was clear that they wanted the Jews to convert. They built a church right on the edge of the ghetto that was dedicated to Our Lady of Tears, seeing Our Lady weeping that they have not accepted her son as the Messiah. They built another church wherein they put an inscription on the front of the church. It was a quote from the Old Testament where it speaks about God. He's talking to a rebellious and contradicting people who will not accept what he's saying. And just to make sure that they understood this inscription was in Latin, they put the same inscription in Hebrew. So the Jews walking by that church every day would see that inscription and hopefully be moved to accept the Messiah, accept our Lord as the Messiah, and come into the Catholic Church. This has always been the authentic Catholic spirit, this desire to bring everybody into the fold. We also maintain the teaching of Christ the King, the doctrine of Christ the King, the idea that God has rights over society, that people in society, the leaders of society, have a duty to acknowledge God as the King of society and to obey his laws, to frame their laws after his will, and that there's no such thing as a liberty to choose whatever religion you want, that God has not given to us the possibility of just choosing whatever religion we want and it all being good, but rather that pluralism is an evil. A secular state is an evil. Almost all the states today are secular states, which means that they do not have a specific religion. They do not acknowledge God. They do not frame their laws according to the will of God. So we believe it's a crime to pretend that it doesn't matter what religion the citizens of a nation practice. As traditional Catholics, we also do pilgrimages and processions. We are not afraid to manifest our faith externally in the public forum. We believe that it's an important part of our faith that we express it publicly, that if we just said, well, we're just going to keep it internally, we're just going to keep it within the confines of our own property, that our faith would weaken over time if we did not have these occasions to profess our faith publicly. We also try to maintain a spirit of penance. You know that the laws for penance in the church today are very, very easy. There are very, very few requirements. And so we're not bound to do much penance as Catholics today. But as I say, because we recognize that it's so necessary for us to have a spirit of penance, because the spirit of the world is a spirit of pleasure seeking. It's a spirit of ease and comfort. And unless we keep kind of our edge as Catholics, then we will give in to the world. And so there's all these practices that are no longer obligatory, but we choose to practice them. For instance, we have the Ember Days. We still have the Ember Days, four times a year. For each of the four seasons, we have 3 days in the week where we fast and abstain. Or the question of not eating meat on Fridays. Catholics are only required to abstain from meat on Fridays in Lent now. But we try to hold on to that practice to keep the spirit of penance. Or the question of fasting during Lent. There's only 2 fast days required in the calendar year, 2 out of 365. But again, traditional Catholics, we try to maintain some fasting during Lent. Or like celebrating Christmas after Advent, instead of celebrating Christmas before Advent, we try to maintain the traditional practice of fasting then feasting. And this is always the way that it's been. We also try to maintain respect for the Most Blessed Sacrament. With many different practices that were abandoned after the Council, we try to keep the Eucharistic fast of 3 hours. This, as I say, helps us respect our Lord because we know that we're going to receive him into ourselves, and we want to, as it were, keep our inside empty to prepare a way for him, a place for him. The priest at the Mass holding the canonical fingers together to respect the particles of the host, to have the communion plate underneath the chin at the reception of communion, for the faithful to receive communion on the knees and on the tongue in a posture of humility, so that they're reminded this is God when they are receiving. The practice of when you come into church to genuflect beside your pew, and certainly this really important practice of where we keep silence in our churches. We do not speak in the church because we believe that God is present. This is his house. And out of respect for him, we don't treat it as a common room where we just have conversations and banter in his presence, but rather we keep silence. As well, we try to maintain traditional dress. And this is something that was very striking in Rome when you had all these traditional Catholics invading Rome, and the contrast between the modern Catholics and the traditional Catholics. There's externally a very striking difference between them. There were many priests in Rome who had cassocks on, and it was almost certain that those priests were traditional Catholic priests. They were priests with the society who were there for the pilgrimage. Whereas there were modern priests who were just wearing a clerical suit and sometimes with just like their tab collar hanging out, indicating that they were kind of off duty. The traditional Catholic priests, we try to wear a cassock and we wear it all the time. We don't just like change into off-duty clothes because it's a life, because the priesthood is a life. It's not a job. The traditional dress is worn by traditional Catholic women. As I say, it was very striking. You could look around and see, on the one hand, very, very scandalous dress, very during the summer in Rome, worn by the women, very provocative dress worn by the women. Whereas the traditional Catholic women were dressed very modestly. They were dressed, first of all, in a feminine way. They weren't dressed like men. And then they were not dressed provocatively. They were dressed modestly. This is another important tradition we feel like we have to hold on to in order to maintain the faith. And then finally, the last thing I'll mention of many practices that we have as traditional Catholics that we try to hold on to because we don't want to lose the faith. We want to transmit the faith in its integrity, is the fact that we don't cremate ourselves. We don't have ourselves cremated after we die. That we maintain the Catholic practice of burying the bodies of those who have gone before us. The catacombs of Rome are so beautiful and they're witness to the faith. These Catholics going to such great lengths to dig underground and haul out all that dirt in order to bury their dead. Over a million Catholics buried in the catacombs of Rome. Why? Because they believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believe that this body that is buried will one day rise from the dead. They believe that this body was a temple of the Holy Ghost, that it received God into itself. And so they did not want to perform an act of violence against it after its death and just burn it to ashes. Whereas the pagans have never had a problem with cremation. So we do not cremate ourselves. So my dear faithful, we are in this relay race in the course of human history where we're receiving the baton of the faith and we're passing on that baton to the next generation. We have our role to perform in our life right now. We want to be able to say with St. Paul and also with Archbishop Lefebvre, you know, that this epistle today has those words that he wanted to be placed on his tombstone, that I have handed on to you what I have received. Tradidi quoted excepi. We want to be able to say the same thing. I've handed on what I've received. I've received this Catholic faith and its integrity. I've handed it on to the next generation. And to be able to say with St. Paul, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, and therefore the crown that the just judge has ready will be given to me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.